Now, reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This is the Gospel of Christ.
Good morning. We see Yandra back at home. So Yandra, it's just a blessing to be here in Christchurch this week and to be part of what God is doing through you. And again, to be part of this gathering, this corporate worship here this morning. I promise Jay and I promise you this morning that we will be out of here by the required time because of Team Taranaki's and All Blacks' victory last night. And so that's my promise to you. Every time God speaks, he provides a peephole back into his mind. I checked that with Ryan this morning, whether those things that you have in, the strange things that you have in your door is a peephole. I had to explain to my children when we slept at the hotel in Nandi on our way here to Christchurch. And every time scripture is being read or God speaks, he provides a little peephole into what he wants us to hear and what he wants us to see. Each time God speaks, he gives us insight into how God functions and how the Spirit of God teaches us how to be human and how to function correctly. Because if not, then we stop at the information that we receive. There is a big deception that's going around the church. It's the deception of being overtaken or just being distracted by the information of the Word of God and not engaging with the requirement of transformation which comes with it. And so we stop at the information and do not allow the Spirit that comes with it to transform our lives. And part of our journey as disciples, part of our maturity, is to be able to balance the receiving of the information with the necessary personal transformation that comes from dealing with God. Because when you and I meet God face to face, there is a fundamental change in our lives. There is a fundamental change. Because without this balance, you and I will be standing in a very dreadful place described in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." We're reminded in Matthew 7:21 of the truth that we will be required to present ourselves to the Lord at the end of time, not our works. We will be required to present ourselves. At the end of time, God looks for a human life that bears the evidence of very close and intimate engagement with the Lord through his words to us. So when we hear the word of God, it teaches us how to be. It teaches us how to be human. It triggers transformation and reformation in our lives. It takes us from where we are to where God wants us to be. No one wants to go from strength to weakness. God calls us to go from strength to strength. And only when we are engaged in this transformation, we are able to implement their information of what God has told us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, may the truth and the spirit of your word again this morning explode within us. Let your Holy Spirit grab hold of our spirit and transform us in our core, and that it shapes our personality, our character, our mind and our thinking. It even transforms the way we live our Christian lives. May our spirits be activated. May it come alive this morning, because every time you speak, it activates a new dimension of our lives. Because when our spirits are activated, the structures of our humanness is aligned, is adapted, reformed and transformed, developed and moved. Because each time you speak, you lift us up from the place where we are to the place of your speaking that's in your heart. Speak to us once again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Luke passage this morning is an account of Jesus trying to get out of his disciples the knowledge of who he really is. And so the disciples present to Jesus a public opinion of who he might be. But Christ, as always, is very interested in wanting us and his disciples to have a very accurate understanding and relationship of who he is. God always wants us to have a correct insight into what God really wants, not shaped by public opinion, but by who he really is. And to follow Christ is to begin from a place of correctness, a place of accuracy. To know Jesus correctly, no matter what the public opinion might be on who Jesus is, or public opinion on a certain issue. And that's the beginning of walking with God, or discipleship. And discipleship is about each individual taking responsibility to knowing Jesus as the Son of God. Not as an attraction, not as a healer, although he might be, but as the Son of God. And one of the key things that I want to emphasize in this message this morning is the emphasis on personal responsibility when it comes to walking with the Lord. I want to invite us to take a fresh look at the requirement for us to be responsible for the quality of the Christian experience that you and I have. And in doing so, my prayer this morning is that we come to a new place of being absolutely personally responsible for where you are in Christ. Luke writes in verse 23, "If anyone would come after me, she must deny himself or herself, take up his or her cross daily." Only Luke puts that key word in. Matthew writes, "If anyone would come after him, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Luke puts this word in, the key word. Every day is the key factor. And this is from the mouth of Jesus. And it's important for us to remember that, because Jesus is the one that we are following. And because he is the one that we are following, he is the one that is giving us guidelines. Let's put aside what the church has said for 200 years. This year we celebrate 200 years of the arrival of the gospel. Let's put that aside and let's listen to what Jesus says. And listen to the instructions that come from his mouth, the one that you and I are following. Because this is the only way you and I will effectively and biblically follow the one whom we call the Christ. Because you know what? I'm beginning to realize more and more that a lot of stuff that we have assumed was Christianity is not. And a lot of principles that we have lived by in the church, the general concepts that we live by in our minds, are not very accurate. But they were tolerated by God for a time. But they were not accurate. And I believe because God is wanting us to go to finish this race, God wants us to live accurate lives as accurate human beings, accurate lives in our roles and our responsibilities out there in the community. You and I must begin where Christ wants us to begin. We cannot have non-biblical intrusions and concepts in our mind when we've reached this point in Aotearoa, New Zealand, where we celebrate the coming of the gospel. We were flying to New Zealand on Saturday, and it was the first time that our kids got to fly with us. And I had to explain to my children that we were going to New Zealand, yet we are not going to, we're going to an exact place in New Zealand. We were taking off from Fiji, but we were going to take off from an exact location. The pilot was not going to take a guess as to where we're going to land when we get to New Zealand. Or maybe North Island, maybe down south at Dunedin, and then we will just probably take a detour. But it's in an exact takeoff point to an exact finish. See, we serve a God that wants us to start from a place of correctness, so that when we do finish, we finish in a place of correctness also. Otherwise, we might just arrive at Matthew 7:21. We might just get there. And see, that's the whole point. The pilot does not keep guessing the height and the distance. And I said to my children, look, those are the beacons. The beacons instruct the aircraft. Oh, you're at a certain distance, you must be this at a certain height. Certain distance, at a certain height. Andrew knows that. It's an approach pattern. It's a glide approach or approach pattern. It must be exact. To keep guessing, you overshoot, or you do a short landing and you crash. And so even in flying, there is a place of accuracy where you take off and land. And so is it with discipleship. Jesus says, if any of you desire to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So this is a little formula that describes and gives the parameters of our discipleship and our walk with God. But the church has got into this some kind of utopia, I think that's the word. We gather for church and services like this. We do things together. We have our youth meetings, our children's ministry. And that's important and it's valid. And this is how we've been functioning for the last 1,000 years. Because it's backed up by scripture that we need to get together. We need to gather and sing psalms and praise and worship God. You read in the Psalms that it talks about the coming together of the congregation, the gathering together of the righteous ones. There is something valid about this corporate experience that warrants us to come together. And God emphasizes that, the gathering of a community. There are some things that we do in a community that we can achieve in a community that we cannot achieve individually. There are certain encouragement and enrichment processes that happens when we gather together. There's things that take place in our lives. And right through scriptures, you read of God dealing with people in terms of groups. But this church service is not the end of you and I's experience. There are groups of people whose concept of Christianity back at home is going to a Sunday service like this. They are not wrong. But for them and for many, it's a be-all and all. If I'm a Christian, then I must go to a gathering like this. You know, I believe that this is a very unbiblical concept. But everybody accepts it because this is the way it has always been. The very evidence that I'm a Christian is that I turn up to a gathering. And the high point of my Christian experience, or the most holy dimension of my Christian walk, is that I gather together on our particular day to be fed. Therefore, our corporate gathering becomes the object or the end of my experience. But you see, Scripture teaches that the gathering here this morning is the result of you and I's walk with Christ. The meeting will only become powerful and only becomes valid, and it only has meaning as each one of us has a personal and a valid walk with Christ individually. You and I don't come here on Sunday to walk with Christ. It happens when we walk out those doors. This meeting is the result of our commitment and our walking with Christ. So that when we come here this morning, we come here out of an emphasis of a personal discipleship and walking with the Lord. And I said to Ryan, I pray that we will make that shift in our thinking. God desires that we make a shift in our thinking, where we are to where he wants us to be. Many of us, like me, we've grown up in traditional groups where the only visible sign of our Christianity is the fact that we gather together. But you see, when you read scriptures, that's an alien concept of discipleship. It's absolutely against discipleship and walking. It's absolutely against the inbuilt culture of being a disciple. And that's why Jesus was always calling people to himself and not so much, and eventually to a crowd. Jesus' objective and his aim when he walked the earth was not only to minister to the individual, but the first thing he did was that he called some people and individuals and said, you come and follow me. This was his pattern. He was always drawing people individually into a powerful experience. Then they came together as a group to experience the corporate value of getting together and worshiping God. And so the church has reached this point in the church's journey. There is a tension between this reality which is in all of us that we're brought up with. It is something that is inbuilt in us. There is a tension between what we're experiencing here, and we get to a point in our position where it is everything. Gathering together this morning is everything, and that's basically it. A corporate experience is a result of and not the ultimate experience for us who have been walking with Christ for many, many years. I've been a Christian for many years, a long time, to know many people who have grown up in church, absolutely committed their lives to the church, and love the church so much, yet have no personal development and personal relationship with Christ. The most faithful people who are always there when the minister calls, who are involved in the group 5 times a week, they are lauded and they are given, they call, these are the pillars of the church. They're great pillars. But yet, in the personal conversation, their personal development and spiritual development is almost zero. I've seen that and I've experienced that. Which is why I'm always concerned about the people I lead and I nurture. How a corporate experience and a gathering like this can sometimes fool us. We can sit here and come here every Sunday, and this becomes your strength. But the minute you and I move away from this place, we discover who we really are. We get defeated by the things that surround us because we have never come to the reality of what faith is primarily, which is a personal walk, a personal discipleship, and a personal responsibility. Leaders, Jay and I, can pass on to you strong concepts. We can build dynamic services and programs. We have to lead it, we have to maintain it, and we have to express it. But there are certain principles and values that we cannot pass to you. Every single person in this room that gathers at the cathedral back at home in Suva is responsible for building that strong individual discipleship experience yourself. If you depend on us to build it, it won't get built. You have to make that personal choice to take on special responsibility. 5 years ago, I buried my dad. He was on the ventilator for 2 days. And I liken it to the ventilator. As long as the machine was operating, my dad was alive. And the monitors were reading that he had good blood pressure, his heart, good pulse. But there wasn't any internal power to generate life in my dad's body. Until he came to the point where I had to say to him, Dad, you've got to breathe on your own. You've got to leave on your own because I've got to take you home to bury you. And we eventually did. And the whole our prayer was, Dad, breathe on your own so that we can get you off the ventilator. We eventually did. Dad was called home to rest 2 days ago because we had prayed that he would breathe on his own. The call to personal discipleship is also a call to breathe on your own. the call to get you off the ventilator and say you must have a process of giving life to yourself by the power of God's word. You and I cannot be called a Christian if we continuously attach ourselves to a ventilator. Because a ventilator, like Dad, made him basically everything in his body was dying, but he looked alive. There is a scripture passage in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. It says, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Unless and until we come to the place of personal responsibility in our walk with God, we might just end up in the place of Revelation 3, 2. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are not. You and I, Scripture tells us this morning, you have to arrive at a place to breathe on our own. And I strongly believe that our church has lost the art of discipleship. We think that knowledge is enough. And because we have lost the art of discipleship, there has been a removal of personal search. Believers become recipient-oriented. We demand to be fed. Not wrong, but it's become a lifestyle. And so most of us get our spiritual food from Sunday morning services. I should be able to ask you, who is your God? You are supposed to respond, you are the Christ. Not the public opinion is, you might be just Elijah. Because if you reach a point of personal responsibility, then you will respond, He is Christ, the Son of the living God. My prayer is because you've arrived at this point in the life of the church in Aotearoa in New Zealand, that we will relook at the way you and I manage our experience with God. It has to be a personal search. Because we've removed a personal search, and when we do fall away from our walk with God, when we drift away from church, we begin to blame the minister and the elders in the church. We say, the church did not teach me this, but we have a whole book. It's our fault. Go and read it. Oh, the pastor did not teach this. That's a wrong concept. The minute you say that the church did not teach me, or the pastor did not say this, then you're limiting your knowledge to what is spoken in a church service. See, that's not Christianity. You've got a book. You've got scriptures. You and I have got to drown ourselves in the words of God. Nothing else works until you and I come to that place. The corporate meeting is important, but it is not the object or the end of our experience, but it is the result of our personal walk with God. But let me put a safeguard in case someone tries to outsmart what I say this morning. However, the emphasis of a personal responsibility or an experience does not make us individualistic or independent. I'm going to say that again. The emphasis on personal responsibility and experience does not and should not make each one of us individualistic or independent. You and I have to be aware of this, and this should not be part of our culture, part of our youth group, part of how the culture of our men's group, our women's group. You do not become individualistic. That does not make us, it's between God and I. Individualistic means it's all about me. I'm not concerned about others. I'm not going to be part of the corporate gathering and the reality and the small groups and all of these things. We'd say it's about me and God alone. You see, that's not what I mean. There is no such thing as me and God alone. The emphasis on personal responsibility does not make us individualistic or a loner or a rebel. It makes us Christ-like. Amen? It makes us Christ-like. But if the personal responsibility makes us individualistic, then we have got it wrong. Because the reality is, when you and I meet Christ, we are transformed individually and we love to be part of the body of Christ. And if we are not seeing each other becoming more like Christ, then something fundamentally is wrong. If we are walking with Christ and not progressing and not moving and not developing into the person that God has in his mind that we should be, then there is something fundamentally wrong. We have to be able to see movement and change if you've been a Christian for the last 10, 15, 5, 4 years. But if all that we are doing is coming to a service that leaves us unchanged, if all that we are doing is coming to a corporate meeting that is powerful, that sings songs like Great is Thy Faithfulness, and that leaves us fundamentally unchanged, then we are living a false corporate experience. If wives are looking at their husbands and husbands operate from a position of selfishness, we've been continuously being an unpleasant individual for the last 5 years, then something is fundamentally wrong. Therefore, we have a personal responsibility to become like Christ. And until you and I grab that inside your heart, you and I do not become it. If it remains a concept in your mind, it means nothing. Because when God speaks, he raises us from a place of information to a place where he speaks those information. He draws us to himself. Until your heart grabs that, then the power of God will not come to us. My prayer this morning is that after 200 years, we will ask ourselves, how have I been a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do I take personal responsibility? Do I see the gathering as the result of and not the ultimate experience for myself? If I do not take responsibility, then we become believers without obedience. Then we become adherents without endurance. Then we jump from church to church. We get upset and we leave. We get ourselves in that position because we are not in a correct place. So this morning, after witnessing 1 week of being in Christchurch and praying and saying, God, what do you want me to share with the people of St. Stephen's? Is that when it comes to our walk with God, there must be some form of personal responsibility. And when we do that, God releases spiritual resources into our lives. Then we no longer become bread and fish Christians. We become flesh and blood. There was a point in Jesus' ministry when Jesus said to those that were hearing, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Those that heard him, they ran. He looked at his disciples. They were just about getting up to run away too. And he said to his disciples, will you go also? His disciples turned up to him, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. My prayer is that we will get to that place, that we will not be shaped by public opinion or false corporate experience, that we will realize that it is our responsibility to walk and talk with God, and that we impart that to our children so that they also will spiritually start well, live well, and finish well. You and I should be a people that are clearly defined by what Christ is saying, that we need to function correctly in these days. You see, this morning we are bringing our lives to Christ so that Christ rearrange our thinking and the way we function. Let us pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us again this morning. I pray that you take us to the place of correctness. You educate us, dear God, and our walk with you. Speak to us so that we will not respond like the disciples that says, you may be Elijah, that we may not be swayed by public opinion and the pressures of society, but that we will take personal responsibility for our walk with you, and that we will respond, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I pray that you will clothe us with accomplishments in our spirits, that we will rise above just receiving information, but allow the Spirit of God to transform who we are, our humanness, so that we can be accurate human beings, live our lives and our roles responsibly and accurately in here and in the community. May we take the time to be educated by your word and be transformed by your spirit. We give you honor and we give you praise. And may we continue to respond, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.